Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're going to be breaking down Season 2, Chapter 28, There Will Be Blood. Hiram drinks Archie's milkshake. He drinks it up! Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everybody, welcome to the Riverdale After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV, bringing out every episode of Riverdale, airing on the CW on Wednesday nights. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
Hi Frank, I'm Sam Davidson.
And I'm Shauna O. You can catch me everywhere at Tishauna O, baby.
And the handsome, multi-talented, multifaceted Ben Bateman on assignment. We miss him already. You're stuck with just us.
Sending love to you, Ben, baby.
But as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and give it a thumbs up while you're there. And feel free to hop in the chat. It is up and running. Love to hear your thoughts about Riverdale in general or this episode in particular. So before we do our usual deep dive into everything Riverdale, what did you guys think of the episode?
I say it was a lot to talk about. And it was quite, I don't know, it was up and down for me. I was like, what is this show trying to do to me? I'm afraid. So I love that I felt the thrill of the fear.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they have some follow through with all of these crazy stories. I'm a little bit worried. It was creepy, but also confusing. That's what I'll say.
It was nice to have Luke Perry back. Because for the longest time, it's like, man, is Luke Perry still doing anything with the show?
Yeah, no, he's a zombie and a shell of himself. Like, why is he even there if he's just going to, like, be a puppet?
But, well, he got a little fired up. We got to see a little bit of that.
Thank God.
Right. I mean, I never believed him for a second. I mean, I could tell by the way he was responding to Sierra. He was not. He's like, I can't be swayed.
Yeah.
So no. He had some fire.
I mean, I guess like the biggest thing this episode is we'll kind of break everything down, but one of the big plot lines is the Sodale Project. That is basically just the overarching umbrella of the season.
Arching.
Da-dumch. There you go.
Get it? One. Yes. Is anyone else still confused as to what the so, I mean, what it is? I still feel like I missed an episode, but of course, you know, I watch each one 2 to 3 times.
Relentlessly, right. Yes.
So I'm very just, I feel like we're all missing a something, because Veronica seems to know more, but I'm like, I thought we knew everything she knew.
Well, I think the only thing we're missing, and it seems like, is just more of Hiram's rationale that we really haven't heard. We now know that it's a for-profit prison and housing for everybody that's working in the prison, but exactly for why Hiram wants, what his persuasive argument is that Riverdale should have this, we haven't quite heard yet.
What does for-profit prison mean? I don't understand.
It's, I think you,
yeah,
I think
getting paid.
Yeah, it's like, instead of the state doing that, and part of, I guess, maybe our taxpayer money goes towards that. You are a prison that you can charge, so the city is then making back something by charging, I guess, the state.
So it's like the prison he wished he could have been. He's like making it like a Martha Stewart prison.
I think that he is like, I'm genuinely, I was in prison confused, paying out money to other people, I'm going to go ahead and have people pay money to me with Lodge Industries.
Okay.
And I'll get rich that way.
All right.
It seems like an interesting idea. I mean, I shouldn't say interesting, but it seems like a very bizarre idea for everything that we kept in hearing about the Sodale Project. This, when he revealed what it was, well, probably one of the last things I would have said, yeah, this is, right, seems, yeah, like what Hiram would say. Off.
In the chat, Betty Cooper, you know, it's what we thought. Golf courses, condos, shopping, that's Sodale. And the state pays for a private company to run the prison. But why a prison? Why?
Because he wants to stop the crime in Riverdale. So he feels if he has a prison, then he'll be able to control it and put the people in jail that he wants to be in jail. And then he thinks he's doing something good for the people because he's going to have them working there at the jail. But it's just like, you're putting us in a position not to be able to say no to you. You're going to be our boss. You're going to be our landlord. You're going to be our person who runs the newspaper. You're going to run the diner. Like, everything. So you're under his thumb. I mean, you might as well say you're a little lodge.
Well, here in the HuffPost, they have an article about why we must end for-profit prisons. And basically, it just says that any city that's doing that, they can make millions off the American taxpayers by having a for-profit prison in their city. So
right. I feel really stupid.
For not knowing?
I did not know those existed. I thought this was something Riverdale created.
Honestly,
it's, I thought the government, the state owned prisons. I'm just very confused. I'm going to, I will educate myself.
We all will do a little more research. And that's kind of cool to see that Riverdale kind of did that to us. But what I will say is, it's kind of clear that that's going on because they make money off of people being in the prison. So that's why so many people are cycling in and out of prison. It's taking people a long time to get out because they're making money every time you're in there.
Yeah, it's certainly just at least from this one article that I was reading. It doesn't seem like for-profit prisons are painted in the best light. Mm-hmm. So, which, surprisingly, if Hiram Lodge is coming up with an idea, I guess, you know, it's probably not going to be the best idea for Riverdale.
But guess who's all for it? Mr. Redheaded Archie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, true. He does say after the events of Jason Blossom, the Black Hood, and what happened to his dad and Pops.
Well, Betty Cooper again says, Archie is such a flip-flopper. I mean, he is.
It really is.
Very confusing. And that's why, you know, I love this show. Like Ben, I think it's the best show on television. But there are episodes like these where I'm thinking, okay, this has to be either brilliant writing where they're going to loop this all in together, all of the bizarre behavior, or we just have new writers coming in that are kind of trying to adapt these characters to the storylines that they want them to be in without really remembering what the audience has been through with the characters.
Right. And then for me, I feel that it's sometimes maybe the reality of just the confusion you go through in life. And then just this power struggle of trying, Archie trying to get his power. Because he's like, okay, you guys are good, but you're not going to punk me and my dad, though. Like, I thought we were in. And then on top of that, he's a teen. Like, he's growing up. He's trying to become a man. He's having these examples of his father and Hiram. He's like, okay, I want to be powerful, too. I don't want to just be a puppet or... He thinks he got some power. Archie's using it.
Archie's growing up and he's learning about life. And, you know, folks, if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those that do, we have a podcast just for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday in iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, fitness, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, tell Maria that it was us who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out. So,
sorry, guys.
Look at that. That's so excited.
Sorry, fans.
Jumping in. Yes. So, we were touching a little bit on Archie there. The course of this episode, we go for somebody that's very protective of his father to now kind of saying, hey, Dad, I'm glad you're out of it, but you know what? I'm not so willing to leave the lodge aside on this now.
Didn't make
that
any
sense.
That
was a plot twist for the ages, honey. I was like, wait a minute. Are you sure? And then I was a little bit confused about why Fred was like a little less. He didn't even protest. He's just like, okay, well, I'll see you at home.
Well, I just don't understand what Fred thought was happening. Did he lose half of his brain when he was shot? I'm not kidding. Like,
what do you mean by that, Sam?
He all of a sudden thinks Hiram is his friend. He's going to go drink right. with him. You know, he slept with his wife while he was in prison. Last season, I think that Fred was a pretty, like, well-grounded man that was constantly questioning Archie's decisions and what he was doing with his life. But all of a sudden, he's just like, oh, yeah, make me pins for right. being mayor without really questioning things.
Yeah, it's... Well, I will go back to the beginning of the episode where we see them having dinner. Archie and Fred are having dinner with the lodges. And I do like that Hiram says, hey, you know, I've got this great scotch. We should go drink it in the study. They haven't even finished. I feel like it's rude. You didn't even finish dessert. Look at right. those lovely little pastry or cake, whatever you're eating. It's not even finished. And you're already saying, oh, before you go.
You know it's mob talk. Mm-hmm. That's mob talk, okay?
Let the men be men, okay?
Right. But right. Hermione goes too. So Hermione wears the pants in this relationship. But what I will say is they let us know that what was going on because he's like, oh, I have this 30-year-old. And he's like, I can't pass that up. That's mob talk, you guys.
That's mob.
When
that's
a mob man tells you to go for some alcohol, you got to say, I can't pass that up. It's the rules.
Yeah, or else you die.
Right.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
swim with the fishes.
And Archie seems to be fine hanging out with the Lodges, but as soon as his dad gets close to kind of getting sucked into that sort of life or working closely with them, that's when he starts getting a little freaked out, kind of saying, hey, Veronica, get off my dad. Don't start trying to force him to do something he may not be ready to do.
I'm just very confused as to why Veronica is, like, so on her family's side. I mean, the entire last season with her father in prison and finding out what he did to all those people, she hated her family. And I don't think that she has that much more new information that should change her point of view that much to where she's ready to, you know, go be their, like, point person out in the town to, like, convince people. Convince them of what? We don't have the full story, and I don't think she knows the full story. It's what she said to Archie. She's like, you gotta talk to my dad, because she doesn't know.
That's not the vibe I got from that, but I
really
hear you. I do
what,
hear you.
What though. Vibe are you getting?
Even though she's probably her vibe. But no. The truth is, I think Veronica is a little bit in the dark a little more because she's young, but she knows something. I heard the guy, the bus driver said, how's Miss Veronica faring in all of this?
Yes, she's a child.
It was like, is she a victim? Is she being manipulated by her own parents? Did they tell her, like, did they bribe her? Did they blackmail her? I'm just so confused about what it is. I think she's under their thumb, too. But at the same time, they must have given her a feeling of, you do have some power in this family. Because she tried to put her foot down about Archie.
Well, I feel like maybe they're not bribing her or blackmailing her, but I also feel like they're not telling her everything. They're telling her what they think their daughter, who's 16 or 17 years old, could handle and should know at that point.
So Mems 135 in the chat says, blood is blood. Hence, I think the title, I just had an epiphany of the episode. And Ronnie just wants to be in the family inner circle. She wants to be seen.
We like that analogy. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And then her father is so intense, like with the blood pact and everything like that. So she may have put that loyalty in her from a kid on.
Well, do you think, Sam, what do you mean by that comment? Like that she wants to be seen to the greater public or just within her family unit?
Her family unit. You know, I mean, she's an only child, as is Archie. And I think they probably maybe bond in a way over that of wanting, like, to be seen by their parents because Archie isn't really seen by his mother. And I think subconsciously they might bond over not being recognized by their family, but she finally is. She's finally in the know, and she wants to keep it that way. So I think that's why she's doing this. And she's the type, you know, she fakes it till she makes it. Really? But she has no idea, I don't think, what she's doing at all.
Right. And I think she wants to believe that her parents have this underlying good. So, because they're convincing her, trust me, this is for the best. We're going to eliminate crime. Yes, we're going to be making money, but, you know, we're going to be doing these good things. And I think she truly wants to believe that in her heart.
I'm going to say something that people are going to hate.
All right.
go for it.
With the storyline that Fred Andrews has taken this season, I think it would have been a stronger choice to kill him.
Whoa. Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, part of me can't argue with you on that statement because it really hasn't been much of Fred this season at all. It's been disappointing.
And he's just manipulated and, like, being a puppet, so I'm just confused. Why is he still here?
But what else would Archie have to really fight for besides Veronica?
Well, if he was dead, then he would have been this almost probably vigilante of sorts, I think, trying to right the wrongs of Riverdale, which in a way I think is what the show is leading to. I just don't think it's ready yet. Mm. I think the Fred death is probably going to come at some point, and that is what will happen, but I don't think they thought the audience was perhaps ready to kind of swallow that pill. Mm. And I don't think I would have been. I would have been very upset.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's interesting when you compare it to the comic book where, at least not the current Mark Waid run, but if the classic Archie you're thinking about, you can get crazy and bonkers and bananas in an issue, but by the end of it, it's going to reset to the usual status quo, and you're just going to go on. That's why it's kind of every story is just kind of evergreen. But they really kind of do that for a TV series where audiences would get crazy on you if you started kind of constantly resetting back to status quo. You need to constantly grow and evolve these characters, which might take them places that you weren't originally intending, or even that the, you know, in terms of a comic book character that has never really gone that direction either.
Mm-hmm.
So taking Fred and killing him off would be a different take for Archie. I don't know if this would be a better or worse season than what we have now, but it would definitely be a different one.
It would, you know, he has all this fire in him, Archie, and he's like ready to go anytime anyone encroaches on his family, which is just basically Fred. So, I mean, I think I think it will happen, but it was only 13 episodes last season. I don't think we knew Archie well enough to really, like, support him going all crazy. But I don't know. We'll see.
We know him now. We with you, Archie.
Well, I feel like certainly last season, Fred seemed to be, like, pretty much involved a lot in Archie's life. Yeah. And from being really kind of, I don't want you to play music. I want you to do something else, maybe in the business with me. To, you know, they had a nice arc through the course of that first season. And this one, other than being in the hospital, he's kind of dropped out a lot
yeah.
this season.
So, Elia Jordan in chat said, so am I the only one who thinks the whole Fred being the mayor thing is just really out of place and weird? I mean, it could have been, but I'm thinking it could have been a good thing if Fred was the mayor. But he would have been just manipulated constantly.
No. Yeah, basically, Hermione Lodge is the mayor now, and she would have been the mayor if Fred was the mayor.
The only thing I think would have been interesting is if Hermione had done a speech and it was just merely like, hey, I want to campaign to be the mayor. That special election hadn't happened yet. And Fred has a change of heart and he wants to run, but he wants to not back up the lodges. But knowing that there's something going on, he wants to oppose that and run for mayor and try to Ooh. Take Riverdale in a different direction.
Yeah, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
That's it.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah, so that becomes like a big conflict here. What's up with Archie in relation to the lodges? He loves Veronica. But how do you separate what Hiram and Hermione are doing, and even Veronica to a lesser extent, to also, hey, I want to just be with this person that I love? Seems kind of very difficult to have both things.
What's love got to do with it?
When you're 16.
When you're 16 yeah. and then the mob.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the show that annoys me with the characters. All the kids are like, listen, we know. Right. It's like, you're children, and people are dying, and there's mobs and gangs. All of these things happening. Like, you don't... God, don't give any of you a gun. Remember that one time they had a gun? Did not end well.
No.
No Ooh. One can wear guns for them. I mean, anybody. But, yeah, it's
they don't worry. They have each other. And the good news is they won't... They
in the
won't
afterlife, maybe, if they all die, because they're so stupid. Sorry. I'm a little bit bitter tonight. I just, yeah.
I don't kind of like bitter Sam. She's saucy. She's snappy.
It is interesting with the lodges, because I feel the difference between Hermione and Hiram is that Hermione really just keeps everything on an even keel. Hiram is quick to anger, as we see on this episode, and it's Hermione's like, well, no, this is all cool, and it's a bone, we can make this work. It's an interesting dynamic between the two of them.
I literally wrote that, yes, interesting dynamic with the family. Is this normal? Have you guys ever seen a family like this? This is so strange. They con each other. So it's like when Veronica was about to get it from Hiram, then Hermione jumps in and is like, yeah, she made a good decision. He's like, oh. And he like changed his mind, like almost like whipped. But I've also seen it where, you know, Hiram is like, we're going to leave this for now. And Hermione's like, yes, okay. It's like they work off of each other to just kind of like stay together. And just like you said at the end, we are first now. What does that mean? Me and you against Veronica?
Oh, no, I think just our family comes first even before your own family or your friends.
They know Archie cannot do that. Did you see how he just acted?
Yeah, that's going to be the weirdest thing with Archie, because by the end of this episode, they do just an old-fashioned slice
yeah.
of your hand.
Slit
your hand. Blood oath. Together.
A blood oath.
A blood oath.
It's funny, because another after show I do here, Unreal, they just whipped out the blood oath, too, and I'm like, oh my God, this is from Charmed a million years ago and yeah. every other thing, but I haven't seen it done on TV in quite some time, so...
I like it. All we need now is a little sand. Throw it in the sand. Let things fly up.
And yep.
That would be classic. I think, yeah. Like, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be something happening at the end of the season, because this seems like too intense and too in deep for Archie. Like, you made a blood oath with a somewhat mob-related family.
Right.
Like, and that there's no going back from this. You set it up. So it's like, Archie is never going to be like this forever, so...
Is he going deep undercover, or is he really just
I don't
like...
think he's smart enough to do that. I thought that at first, too, and I was like, he can't pull this off.
But I'll be curious, how do they get him out of this and still make everybody seem, like, credible?
I think Veronica's going to get him out. Look how she just saved his life now, talking about telling Jughead. She was like, don't you know snitches get stitches?
Yeah.
You are talking to my father. He will kill you. I told him I did it.
I guess that is one way we could see... Archie and Veronica break up is that
yes.
we'll let Archie live and walk away, but you can never see him again.
Well, are you guys seeing this divide already happen, like as far as Jughead and Betty? And it seems like they're going to, you know, pair off and investigate yes. this. And then, like, it's Archie and Veronica. And it's going to kind of be this, like, Hatfield and McCoy again.
Uh-oh.
These feuding families, which has been a theme of the show.
Yeah, this True. Episode made me ship Bughead for, like, the first time. Honey.
Really?
Oh, because wow. you guys know I'm Barchy. You guys know it. I'm for the end game, for the end game.
Betty's way too good for Archie.
But Bughead got me this time because they weren't even spending time together, and they were both sleuthing their little butts off. Like, she was all in the cupboard looking at Chick's comb and his everything. And then Jughead, on the other hand, was really serious about Hiram's plan just falling down and just being distracted.
Well, I think it's interesting with Betty and Veronica. The different, the similarities with them this episode, they're both about controlling people to get what they want.
Yes.
Whether it's Veronica with Archie and Fred, or Betty
with
Kevin.
Yeah. And Chick. Which she was a little like, Kevin had to back away. And now, can I ask you guys in the chat, how do you guys feel about that? Do you feel Kevin was being a loyal friend, or do you feel he had to stick up for himself, or else Betty was going to end up having him meet up with Chick and probably just go all the way? Just do it to him and tell me how that feels, and tell me if he seems real.
Okay. I was like, God, Kevin, why'd you have to mess it up?
Kevin was so obvious with looking on the outside the screen. Come
yeah,
on.
But I think that Kevin is so unaware sometimes that in a way I think he's the villain in certain points. I thought so last season. Hmm. And then sometimes I thought he could have possibly been the Black Hood because I'm like, he's so unaware. Is he just playing stupid? What's happening? But I think that he is just unaware and that there are perhaps like things going on at home and he has an evil person in his family, his father. I just think he's subconsciously making odd choices, but it's pretty clear that Chick is creepy AF.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right. So tell me, would either of you, if a friend came over, a really good friend, and said, I need you to help me, a catfishing, kind of a quasi member of my family, would you do it?
100%. Yes.
He's going to be all about catfishing. All right.
I'm not with the catfish life. It depends on how close of a friend it is. If you are like, can we chew sushi with our mouths open together or no? If not, I'm not catfishing nobody.
Is that a level of friendship for you?
Oh, yeah.
That chewing sushi with your mouth open?
Chewing anything with your mouth. If you feel comfortable enough to like sit around chewing with your mouth open and like being just like rude, then yes, okay, I will catfish. But other than that, no, we're not close like that.
Wow. Had I known, I would have chewed with my mouth wide open. I was eating while we were watching this episode. I would have chewed wide open for you, Shauna.
Next time, boo.
See, Billie Jean Girl 24, of course, you know, says Chick looks like he has a hit list with his family photo.
Yes, he's cutting out everyone. First it was Hal. Then it was Polly. Now, Betty's next.
Betty will be next.
Stay out of my bathroom, Betty. That was the line.
But see, I felt like that was like, come on, Chick, you went into Betty's before. Right. So what's up with that?
That's why he told her that. To let her know, I can do what I want to do here, but not you, boo. You are not the king. You're not the queen anymore. Just like he got a little upset when those twins were getting a little too much attention. And he went and took them out on a little walk.
Well, do you want to hear something funny? When I saw Betty going through his garbage and she picked up his floss, as she said it was, right? I go, that's a really curly hair. It's long of Chick's.
I thought that too. That's weird. I honestly thought that. Yep.
I was
with you.
You guys don't want to know what I thought.
Is it I mean, it did not look like floss, okay? I was just like, whew, that's a weird piece of hair for her to pull out of the garbage.
I swear, you guys, I thought it was Nana's. I was about to say, come on, Chick. I know you do webcams, but do you do home visits? I mean, what's going on? Are you in cahoots with Nana? Nana Blossom? So, yeah, I went a little crazy with that, but I'm back.
Well, we'll talk about Betty and Chick here, because the big thing about them is we see Polly back. And Sam, how do you still feel about this? Because Polly, she brings the babies.
Okay, you can get babies anywhere.
Not that cute. They're so cute.
Go to a rent-a-baby store.
Yeah, what do you think baby actors are for, okay? You could just hire them off the internet. I don't know.
Right.
I'm still, like, I'm going to be really disappointed if Polly isn't evil in some way. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just gonna be like, wow, what a pointless, boring character.
Right. Well, and why'd you guys make her so mysterious?
I mean, I get she got another show and stuff, and that's the thing. It's like, I would hope when she got the other show, if she wasn't evil in some way already,
just kill her.
They would have been like, okay, we got to do something with her because it's just going to be weird if she's super nice popping in and out of the show all the time, but she's super nice. No.
Well, I mean, she seems really kind of skeeved up by Chick, too.
Yes.
So the idea of them being in cahoots seems less and less likely.
Yeah, okay. Right. That theory is out for me, kind of. It's 90% out. But I still don't know about the babies. I'm telling you, they didn't do DNA tests on the babies.
Right? They should.
She thought so, too.
Betty should do a little swab. I do think that Polly is there to be an instigator in a way, a little confirmer for Betty. When Betty's thinking all these weird things about Chick, here comes Polly like, he's weird, right? Like, did you see this? Did you see that? There's always that sister or cousin who's like, did her boyfriend look 3 times or 4 times at the other girl? There's always the observant family member. And I think Polly's going to be that for Betty and be like, did you see that Chick did this, this, and that?
And Billie Jean Girl 24 in the chat says, you know, Once Upon a Time is getting canceled. So Polly might be back, which is true.
Yeah, it would be
and
nice.
She will be evil.
Well, it seems weird because also we have Hal come back and he makes a pitch like, hey, I want a divorce right now, immediately. But I'll give you half of what Hiram paid me for the paper.
For all the incest blood in this town.
Yeah, but it feels like the way that he refers to Chick, like he must know that it's not his.
Yeah.
But he never mentions anything. He never says that kind of statement to Alice at all. It's mm-hmm. always just, he just kind of just mentions Chick as, you know, just this stranger in our house.
I feel bad for him when he's like, I treated you like a goddess for I don't know how many years, he said, and done everything you wanted. And we still don't know what exactly Betty found with her results. I mean, I have my FP and Alice theory.
I think that's a great one.
But with a DNA test, what is she comparing it to?
Like, she can compare it to both Alice and Hal. So if it matches up with Alice but not Hal, then she knows that only Alice is the mother and somebody else is the father.
Right. So she, well, not, you know, but then she says, well, who are you? It's like, I'm sure she knows her mom could have been a floozy back in the day. So it wouldn't be super shocking.
Right.
I don't know what she found out.
But I also know, like, well, why are you asking him, who are you? It's like, I'm sure he probably thought that he was Hal and Alice's.
It's all so strange. Mm-hmm. I think he's not the brother. How could she confront him and say, who are you, if he's her brother?
True. I guess the results were that he's not even Alice's, but he's still, at least from the teasers, he's still hanging around, it seems, for the episode. So yeah. I don't know.
Okay. Last prediction from the teaser. I think that maybe they only got us after and she goes, okay, so fine, you are my brother, but at least you're not being honest about some part of who you are. So who are you?
We're not done yet, though. Yeah, we have more,
that's
don't
true.
We?
We have
no,
more.
No, we have much more.
Oh, we
yes.
have much more.
Yes. so we figure out that Kevin finally gives up on the catfishing. He can't really do it. So we've kind of left in this quasi-state with Chick and Betty, where at the end it just seems it's Polly's left town. She's like, I'm taking off and going to San Francisco. I'm getting the twins away from this creepy dude that's living in your house.
Right.
Make sure you send us a postcard with your address so we know where you are. Like,
that was so threatening.
It was great directing. That's what I noticed directing in that kind of scene when, you know, Polly's to his side and he is just staring like he is in a TV haze, like just watching a television and is totally hypnotized, but right. He's just eating cereal and staring out the window.
Right, how creepy can you be? They asked him, how creepy can you be? And he said, I'll show you by eating this cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that he threatened Polly. Like, and I felt she felt threatened.
Yeah. Seriously. I feel like the only time we've seen him seem like a normal person is when he's on the webcam with Kevin. That's
yes.
what he is. And whether that's him just play acting as a natural human being because he's doing it for pay of sorts. But like any time I've had any like interaction inside the Cooper household, he's always seems like a weirdo.
Yes. I just had okay, I'm gonna...
Uh-oh. Is anyone shipping the crazy, creepy relationship between Kevin and Chick? Because he goes, I think he's a really good guy, and I'm starting to feel really bad about this.
I think Kevin is going to be easily swayed to the dark side. I've thought this for a long time. Again, because I think we're going to find out his father is evil in some way, and he has it in his blood.
Yeah, Black Hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to hook up with Chick?
Yeah, I mean, they'll run away together and, like, have a beautiful love story.
Now, you saying you started, a theory started percolating in your head. Was it about this?
Yeah, okay, so it is that perhaps the actual Chick the son of Alice and whomever maybe hired this dude to go in there and feel it out. Because, he is a pay-for-play kind of guy. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Or you just triggered one in me. What if the real chick was that guy that came to the door to come tell everybody the truth, and then Chick got Alice to take care of it?
I think he was too old.
Oh, okay.
We did see, though, there's still a through storyline with Mrs. Grundy, and there is a character that we saw briefly last season. I think he was selling ice cream, maybe. And then again this season, and he was the one with Miss Grundy. She was giving him lessons. You could tell they were hooking up. It was at the beginning of this season. And there was people, like, Reddit all over the internet. They were doing, they're like, this is the same actor. That doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
He didn't have... And these people said, maybe he was actually Betty's brother, and he was the son. And not Chick. So maybe Chick was hired by someone. I have no idea. To throw him off his scent.
No. Wow. All right. It could be weirder things that have happened on Riverdale.
Well, Alice is buying it. Big time.
Speaking of weird, let's talk about the Blossoms. And I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say Claudius is a Black Hood.
That would make sense. Oh, the eyes.
He said it. He declared it.
I didn't think about that till now, but it's so obvious now that you said it. I feel stupid.
And he's evil.
No, but I can't believe I didn't think of it.
I know. We applaud you.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you, everybody.
First, I'm thinking about twins. I'm like, twins skip generations. Okay. So he was talking about how Clifford was this terrible brother. He didn't reference Cain. What did he reference? It wasn't Cain and Abel. It was something else, but...
Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, whatever.
It was the Blossom Curse?
Yeah, but it was a very Cain and Abel-y kind of story, but it was...
Oh, where he said, there hasn't been, twins here without one...
You have to kill each other.
At the hands of the other.
Yeah. And, I've seen this in so many of my shows. Vampire Diaries, I will just say, it was in that. Ben's not here, but you need to get used to this. I reference the Vampire Diaries almost every week.
Somewhere Ben has had a little twitch.
Yeah, he's like, right. There it is again. but I'm thinking that Clifford actually might have been the victim. And it was at this guy's hands, who is the nice guy, seemingly. Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, we do find out that Clifford wanted to have a public reading of his will. And why did it wait for a little while until after the law enforcement had wrapped their investigation on his side activities? And who should come for the reading of the will but his long-lost twin brother, Claudius, who everybody thought had been killed or had died, but
or
he
had
just
no
ran
idea
off
about.
After being threatened at gunpoint by Clifford.
Did his mother think he died, or he's just like, he ran away on a boat?
I don't know. Well,
she said, I thought you'd never come back, or something
like
that.
I had expected maybe Clifford to kill him. Because it seems like the way that Clifford says, Clifford doesn't shoot him, but as soon as Claudius gets back at home, he just packs up his stuff and just takes off that night and is like, that's it, I'm gone. I'm not going to attempt fate. And he joins the Merchant Marines.
He says it as if it was like a favor. Like, listen, I'm here to hold this gun to you and tell you about the Blossom Curse. One twin dies at the hand of the other, which is basically you of mine. Okay, so why don't you go ahead and go before I can let this get like that? And so he flees the town.
Do you think this could perhaps explain it all the wigs, maybe all of the wigs of Clifford Blossom? He's trying to hide, or maybe Claudius really was Clifford. And,
I think so.
Yeah, they're gonna do some crazy, stupid stuff with us where it's like the one that actually died was Claudius and Clifford was really the one running it the whole time, and Claudius was wearing the wigs, and
I'm with you on that.
Interesting. That could be could be something. And then Clifford is much more personable. Claudius is much more personable than Clifford.
It's not Clifford.
Yes, Clifford is not personable. He's dead as far as we know, unless he's assuming the role of Claudius.
Yeah.
We could find out,
you know,
twist.
Some people can climb out of that rope. Who knows?
So we do find out, though, in Clifford's public reading that Nana gets, I guess, Thornhill or Thorn...
No.
Oh, wait.
Penelope gets Thornhill. I don't remember what Nana gets.
Thought it said some other mansion.
Yeah. Some, I think the one that they're currently in. That must be that. And then because Thornhill's the one that burned down.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then Cheryl's like an empty shell of a house. How fitting, mother. It's like she is such a little jab queen, but I love her. She's so sweet. And I got a chance to see her with Tony, which was good for emotional support.
Yes.
So I feel like that thing was intense, though. The Blossom Will reading was totally intense when they came out with that information.
Because Clifford sets it up where it's like, if anybody can prove, even with, for like a, like just even a shred of blood, drop of blood, that you're from Blossom lineage, you can get a portion of this half of my fortune.
And it's sadly going to be most of the town because there's so much incest. Yeah. No, that's why so many people were there, I feel like, because, you know, they might have... I don't think it was a public event. I think people were invited to the will reading. Maybe it was like all of these dozens of people that have, you know, bred together that have the same blood.
I guess, well, I mean, if you think like last season when Cheryl invited Archie for that big gala, there was a lot of people that showed up from the Blossom side of the family. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of people that would be getting a portion of that money.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like there's that much to go around.
Why? What was his purpose in doing that? Is it to get people to fight, get people to find out their family and come together? Like, was it for a noble cause, or was he just trying to stir up some drama from the grave?
No, he's just trying to tell everyone, look at how much incest is going on in this town.
I don't think that's it.
And this is where it got weird for me. For this is at the end of it, the lawyer says, "All right, the rest of it goes to, the other heirs of the Blossom fortune, Jason and."
So the drug money is that. What they're referring to?
I don't know. Or the...
The maple syrup?
Yeah, whatever's left of that.
Put those on your pancakes.
But did it seem weird that Cheryl just got up at that moment and just walked up to the podium?
It was like at Jason's funeral.
It was.
Remember?
Was
like, she does that.
Like, why are you standing up right now?
And the guy was looking like, should I move? And he did.
Yeah.
He got out the way.
She's like...
Exactly. I think it's time for me to make a speech. And then during the speech, she literally passes out from the shock of seeing her, who she believes is her
father. All right. Rank me on that kind of passing out kind of move that we've seen so many times before. This, it felt like when she started falling, she was peeking out of her eye, like, let's make sure I'm not really falling too hard. It seemed like that to me.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
Me too.
I'll rewatch it. I'll let you guys
She
know
put her hand sweet. Down like, baby, yeah. I can fall, but I can't hurt.
I mean, that could have just been Madeline, you know, making sure she didn't hurt herself too badly when she did her tumble up there. But, I mean, God, it really, though, irked me the wrong way that is why Polly came back. And it was so very clear. It's like, oh, I'm double. It's triple then because she has the twins that are apparently hers. And okay, I'm sorry guys, I'm just not gonna let it go. But also, you know, she had twins with her cousin, so she's a Blossom as well. So she has so many bloodlines that she's gonna be just making bank on this will.
That's true.
It's really
well,
weird.
Good for her, except she got scared off by Chick, so she's not there anymore. She's on Lesbos Island.
Yeah, you can prove it from a distance, I would imagine. But speaking of Lesbos, I did like the interaction with Tony and Cheryl. I thought that was really nice. It's been it's like, all right, this is I like what it shows of Cheryl.
Me too. Shoni.
I'm feeling Shoni. I think every single person. I've not heard anyone against Shoni. I love the way she grabbed her hand, you know, for support, and I love the way that Tony stood up to the devil herself. She goes, oh, she's a nightmare after she meets Cheryl's mother. And I put understatement of the episode because she is literally the devil.
Yeah. I mean, it's really nice for Cheryl to have someone that's not terrified and extremely put off by her mother, because most people would be. Mm-hmm. You know, when Veronica was friends with her, she was like, oh, God, I mean, I'm your friend, but I'm not really down for this kind of abuse. But Tony's... Okay, whatever.
Right. She's like, okay, we're going to get you away from this.
Yeah, because it does feel like Cheryl, at least I think in first season Cheryl, is somebody that is only going to talk to you if it's going to benefit her in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like to have a relationship with Tony, that is not a factor in it so far. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. I don't know. It makes me think it's too good to be true, though. I can't trust anybody in this town.
True.
Well, at the end, as much as we thought that Claudius is a great guy, we do see him talking to Penelope and wanting to get revenge on Hiram. And then Penelope says, wait, no, first Nana, then Cheryl. Mm-hmm. As Cheryl's just around the corner, hearing it with the great Cheryl Blossom tear down the eye, as always.
Face.
What does that even mean? So are they looking to get rid of Nana and then get rid of Cheryl?
I can see them trying to send her off to boarding school.
No.
I can see them trying to send Nana off.
Murder.
Murder. Cold, hard murder.
Nana, I could see. because I would feel like I feel Nana would leave anything that was left to her, any of her possessions would go to Cheryl.
It would easily go to Penelope. Off.
Right. Yeah.
She's old.
Right. That's seriously, true. Just crush up something, put it in the applesauce,
get it on. Died in her sleep. But I think when Cheryl gave that speech, that it was, you know, no more blood, like no more.
Oh, right.
It was a foreshadowing that that was what was going to continue to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys, I was blown away. Like, if I had edges right here hanging down, they would have been blown all the way back. Because I could not believe that someone's own mother would plot against them in such a way. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, we have to get our home in order. Excuse me? Where have you been, mister? This is not your home.
That's, there is, so, oh.
Oh, Sim's having
it. Tell us.
Switcheroo with the hanging. Maybe Clifford, actually, it was
Claudius. Clifford,
it was Claudius, but they just, like, he came back, and they're the ones that put him hanging, so that was actually his twin brother, but the real Clifford with Penelope, you know, they're married, they love each other, apparently, they did, he just left and set his brother up to die. And this is really Clifford that we're seeing now, the one that we saw last season, just with, you know, no toupee.
What I love about this is, no matter what, it brings the drama, because let it be Clifford. Let's now talk about how Hal has been all up in your wife's cookie cakes, and you know about it now. Because you're going to find out. The whole town knows.
Speaking of letting the whole town know, let's wrap up as we're talking about Jughead.
Okay.
Of course, he's been on the pursuit of Hiram Lodge and his what he has in store for Riverdale, the Sodale Project. He finally gets, thanks to Archie, a little nugget about Pop Tate's, the soda shop being sold to Hiram.
But then
he's
halted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what it was nice to see Pop Tate doing a scene that wasn't in the chocolate shop. Yes. We got to see him in a couple of different locations this episode, which is nice.
Yeah, and see some, you know, I love when he calls him Jug, like they're old buddies, and I'm very worried about him. I'm worried about everybody, honestly. I don't know who's going to make it out.
She's like the mother of the whole show. Like, everyone, just be careful.
Little do you know, I'm running the show. Who do you think the Black Hood really is?
No, Sam, I don't know if you agree with this. Sean and I were watching it. It got to that point where after Archie tells Jughead about, he bought Pop's chocolate shop. And then Jughead gets the map out of Riverdale. And says, if you're telling me what you're telling me is true, we're all in danger.
Everyone's in danger.
Yeah.
I said, Archie, why did you pick Jughead to go right to? He is insanely obsessed.
It was so melodramatic.
But why are they in danger if you're just getting a real estate mogul? I mean, I'm turning into Ben right now, but if this is the OC, like, they weren't planning on killing everybody. They were just trying to, like, take over, you know, all the real estate.
But that's clearly not how Hiram Lodge runs things.
I don't know. I really don't understand.
And the problem, too, is everything's undercover. If it was the OC, they would put a big sign saying that we're doing some renovating, we're adding this, this, and that. He is, like, buying things undercover. He doesn't want to talk about it. He bought the high school, and now he's going to turn the high school into a prison. That's something that definitely couldn't have gone down the pipeline before it did.
Like,
let's just say that.
Riverdale meets Prison Break. Is that going to be the spinoff?
Right. Yeah. And then do you think kids are not going to be going to jail if there's a prison right in town? Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, would either you be that keen on if you're in a small little town and then all of a sudden there's just a prison in there?
No.
As part of the city landscape?
No.
It'd be kind of weird.
I'd be tripping. I mean, I've heard about prison escapes.
I've heard about those. What I'd like, though, is that Jughead writes this expose, like, Hiram's already bought the Riverdale Register to silence the press.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still one paper in town, you know, the good old blue and gold. And when he writes it up and gives it to the principal, he's like, I'm not going to print this article that trashes a student's family.
I thought that was so, like, and then he goes, and if you guys will excuse me, I thought you're going now to go call Hiram like everyone else and say, guess who's asking questions? And that's exactly what happened. Hiram's like, Jughead's looking around all these places because he knows everyone's calling him to cover their own butts.
I just got to give a shout out to a Derek Hogan in the chat that says, Sam is always confused. I'm sorry, what are you? Is no one else always confused?
It's so hard. We don't know what to say about this place.
I'm confused that you're not confused.
So who do you think it is, guys? Who do you think the Black Hood is? Well, let's just get into predictions.
Yeah, I think it's Claudio.
Thinking of Claudio?
Claudio, yeah. Claudius, sorry. Claudius.
Okay. We're going to call him Claudio for short.
My last thought about the blue and gold is, like, this is now a town that is getting all their news ostensibly from a high school newspaper.
It's like Jughead, start a blog.
This is it.
Called the internet.
So right. People are going up. They're starting their morning day. They're going to some coffee shop. Are they printing enough newspapers to go around than just the high school? Or are they putting it in other like storefronts?
I think they have middle schoolers handing them out to every doorstep like, for sure.
This is what it is? All right. This is crazy. All right. But John, what is your prediction there?
My prediction is, as far as the newspaper goes, I think that the blue and gold will now be the only trusted newspaper. It speaks to the fake news and alternative facts world we live in today. The people in power running the news and media and or discrediting the news and media, it's never going to go anywhere. The blue and gold is going to be the number one newspaper. I think Chick is so creepy that he has to be good as a plot twist.
Yeah.
He might just be a wounded little bird. I don't know, but he is quite interesting. And I think that Alice Cooper, which I love the little jab she gave to the mayor, she goes, right, Attorney McCoy? She is no longer the mayor. She is now a lawyer. So I think that they're going to go at Hal with everything they have and try to bring down the whole Blossom Empire.
Yeah. I think that of course, the Black Hood mystery is not over. We knew that the mid-season finale was so unsatisfying that we knew it wasn't over. And it's still, the Black Hood is in our midst. And I think that Clifford Blossom is still well and alive in his, evil twin. And that the twin was the one hanging when we saw him in maple syrup. The maple syrup barn, and that he's maybe going to accidentally drop some hints to Cheryl that he's like, she's thinking only my dad could know that, and it's going to start to build from there.
Maybe. I mean, it is, if he's feeling the heat coming down, it's like, all right, it's only a matter of time before they get me for what happened with Jason. Well, hey, Claudius, old pal, old chum. Come on, we'll put this rope around your neck for a second. Sit up on the stool.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be fun.
Nice to see you, bro, by the way.
I don't know if I have a prediction, but I'm wondering how far the show's going to get, as I mentioned before, to get Archie out of this blood oath that he's made with Hiram. That just seems so bonkers to me now. I feel like the show's going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting to get Archie away from that and just have him just be like, oh, I'm just Archie now.
Right, and if they don't, then we'll totally notice. So you guys better do some heavy lifting.
I mean, they're not vampires. He can get out of it.
I mean, it's a blood oath. It says no turning back.
I could do one with you right now, honestly.
All right, let's get a knife out. There's no going back.
Now listen, I'm a CPR instructor, okay? We don't do that, okay? Okay, guys.
Well, it looks like next week we're going to find at least something out more about Chick. Finally, hopefully we'll figure out what the story is. Does anybody not think it is Allison and FP's kid?
Or he's just an imposter that hired. Right. But I do really want it to be Allison FP's kid because I know that they do have a blossoming romance in their future, so.
Well, let's make it happen sooner than later.
And then, of course, let me just not let us go without talking about Shoni. I ship Shoni, and I think that next week we will see a little more, maybe not PDA, but a little more emotional attachment where it's like, we're hanging out at school, we're besties now, and we're gonna be besties and bed besties.
Bed besties. Bed I like besties. That. What a nice way to put it. We're bed besties. Isn't that what we all aspire to in life?
Yes.
With that, folks, we're going to wrap up this episode of the Riverdale After Show. But as always, thanks for watching. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. And if you'd like to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Shana, where can they find you?
You can always find me everywhere at DShanaO. And coming up on the 28th, you can catch me right here on AfterBuzz TV on Star on Fox.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram, and at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
And as always, look for Ben Bateman at Ben Bateman Media, just all over social media. He deserves to have your eyes on our social media presence. As for me, Bed Buddies, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. All right, folks.
Bye, Bed Buddies. We'll Bed Besties.
We'll see you next week on the Riverdale After Show.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.